Good Weekend Talks is a new podcast from the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age.
It's a deep dive, once a week, into Australia's definitive stories.
I'm Good Weekend editor, Katrina Strickland.
And I'm Good Weekend senior writer, Conrad Marshall.
On Good Weekend Talks,
we take a long-form look at the people,
places and issues
that matter to you.
Devour the issue in depth.
And learn the backstory and craft behind some of Good Weekend's most popular pieces.
Find out how Mullumbimby became ground zero for the anti-vaxxer movement in Australia.
Meet Helen O'Connell, the Melbourne urologist who mapped the clitoris.
Explore the complicated and highly vexed issue of concussion in sport.
And take a look inside Scott Morrison's Pentecostal church.
It's your favourite magazine, brought to life for your ears, your heart and your soul.
Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tori Maguire. Please explain. I'm Tori Maguire. On December 9 last year, 47 tourists and guides were visiting the White Island volcano in New Zealand when it erupted. 20 people were killed and 26 were seriously injured. Many of the injured suffered serious burns, and in the days after the eruption, 13 Australians were flown to hospitals in Sydney and Melbourne for treatment. Six patients ended up at the burns unit at Royal North Shore Hospital in Sydney, a statewide burn service that was also treating victims from the bushfires. On this week's Please Explain feature episode, Sydney Morning Herald health reporter Rachel Klum will take you through the burns unit, and you'll get a glimpse of just what it takes to treat serious burns after a natural disaster. Over to you, Rachel.
Thanks, Tori. The first challenge medical staff at the hospital faced when these patients arrived was getting them prepped and ready for surgery almost as soon as they landed in Sydney.
So they all went to theatre within 24 hours of arriving here, so five patients, and we started actually removing the burn and putting their grafts on pretty much the day they arrived.
That was Dr. Robert Gates, who's head of the Burns and Plastics Unit. Dr. Gates explained the burns these patients suffered in the volcano eruption compared to wounds one might see in a war zone.
Some of them had these areas where it would appear that something like a hot rock had hit them and gone into them, a bit like I imagine a shrapnel from a war injury might have occurred. That was the only real difference that we noted in our patients.
But surgery wasn't the only thing the patients faced in their first 24 hours at Royal North Shore Hospital. The treatment of serious burns involves a large multidisciplinary team, including specialist nurses, physiotherapists, dietitians, pain management specialists, occupational therapists, and social workers. So when the burns patients arrived from New Zealand, within their first day in hospital, they were met by the whole team, who started working from day one to get their patients the best outcome. Senior physiotherapist Julie Bricknell explains, in those early days, it's crucial to get burns patients moving as soon as possible.
We try and see them on day zero, the day that it happens, or at least the next day. So it's very important when you have a burn to start moving straight away, hopefully moving yourself, but if you're not able to move yourself, then we actually help people if they are intubated and sedated in intensive care. And the reason for that is that when you get a burn, your body is essentially trying to make that wound smaller.
Julie says while physio exercises might be the last thing a patient with severe burns wants to do, it's one of the most important parts of their long-term recovery.
I'm honest with people. I say, look, I appreciate it really stretches and it's really sore, but if you don't do this, you're not going to be able to move. And I think I see that light bulb moment for people where they go, oh, hang on, she's actually not the bad guy, she's actually trying to help me get back into my life. If we were to hold off until they were completely healed, which I'm sure all of us when we're in pain would like to happen, to be completely healed before we have to do any stretching or movement, if we did that, they'd have perfectly healed skin and absolutely no function. They would potentially have a lot of disfigurement, but they would also have limitations to their movement and would never be able to move again.
Senior social worker Julie Quiet says these burns cases were out of the ordinary because of the circumstances these people suddenly found themselves in were completely unexpected and out of the blue.
It was so out of the ordinary, so very incredibly sort of high-functioning, well-adjusted, people just going along their ordinary day, and then this happened completely unexpected. So the trauma there is all of a sudden this happens, what else is going to happen? Is my world safe again?
As a social worker, Julie also sees patients within the first 24 hours because for most patients, burns injuries are traumatic.
So in the initial stages when we first see a patient like that, it's really, really important that we convey a sense of safety, calm, but also involve them very much that they get it, regain a sense of control and understanding, because the very thing that trauma does is take all those elements away.
Julia says all burns patients face huge adjustment challenges and they're at risk of developing post-traumatic stress disorder.
And the other thing with burns, and I think this is a really big one in terms of the PTSD, is that the burden of treatment, so burns treatment, adds to the trauma because it's painful, it's incredibly confronting, and so patients are still in trauma because every time they move or do anything, it hurts. So it re-triggers their trauma. So it's very hard for them to settle from their trauma responses. So often, and there's a lot of research that shows that people with high symptoms of distress at 2 weeks post-injury are most at risk of developing PTSD.
But for Julia's patients, it's not just the physical and mental trauma that they're dealing with. It's making adjustments to their potentially changed appearance.
A lot of my work is around how people feel about how they're now looking. So how they're adjusting to what their body looks like and feels like. And sometimes that can be incredibly confronting in terms of their identity. I prepare people when they first look at their wounds and then debrief after with them about that. And sometimes it's working up to that point where sometimes you have a sort of resistance where people just don't want to look at their body, they don't want to touch it. But our job is to get them to engage with their body so they can see what they're actually adjusting to.
The team at Royal North Shore Hospital's burns unit is tight-knit, and acting nurse unit manager Tracy Hurley says that helps staff cope with the pressure of the job, especially when it's busy.
We work as a multidisciplinary team here, so we got to coordinate with the allied health staff to try and help them do their jobs as well, because basically at the end of the day, we've all got the same goal, is to try and get everybody to go home.
Burns patients might spend months in hospital, but their recovery is not finished when they leave. Occupational therapist Akane Katsu says,
treatment for burn scarring can take anywhere from a year to 2 years. And if it's really extensive, a big burn can take, 2 to 5 years to fully recover.
So while physio and occupational therapy continues after discharge, Akane explains it can become more difficult for patients.
And I would say probably the intensity of an outpatient treatment is no less than being an inpatient. Perhaps the difference is that you are in a lot more supported environment with 24-hour care when you're an inpatient in the burns unit or in intensive care. But when you go home, it can get really daunting and terribly, terribly scary because they're on your own. They can't buzzer to get a drink of water, scratch their back. So going home is great, but it also brings its own stresses with them.
But Julie says seeing her patients recover and improving makes her job all the more rewarding.
I mean, you see someone at their absolute worst when they've had an injury. You see family who are grieving, who are upset. They don't know what to expect, and it's our role to explain to them that we're going to be there for them, and actually Akane and I and our other team members are there from them right from the word go, and we're following them right to the end. It's very rewarding to see people actually making improvements and getting back into their lives with perhaps a few hiccups along the way that we have to try and manage. So that's fantastic, I think, to see people improving.
That was senior physiotherapist Julie Bricknell, ending that report by Rachel Clune, who is the health reporter for the Sydney Morning Herald. And if you want to know more information about the Royal North Shore Burns Unit, be sure to read Rachel's exclusive article on the Sydney Morning Herald website. This Please Explain feature is brought to you by the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. Subscriptions power our newsrooms, so to support independent journalism research, subscribe the Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. If you're loving the show, rate or review us on iTunes. It helps others find out about this podcast. This episode of Please Explain was produced and edited by Leah Simoglu. Additional audio support from Tom Compagnoni. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.